The book of Luke, chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at his feet, listening to what he had said. We've been talking the last number of weeks about four things specifically that the enemy uses in the life of Christians today to sidetrack us, to get our focus or our attention off of where it should be. We talked about the first one being delay. When things don't happen the way we think they should happen, or the way we want them to happen, or the way we desire them to happen, or they don't happen in the time frame we want them to happen, sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes in our discouragement, we get our eyes off of the prize. Sometimes in our discouragement, we get our eyes off of Jesus, the author and the finisher. Sometimes in the delay, we become weary. When the scripture says to us, do not become weary in well-doing. We're cautioned by the Lord. Don't become weary. Don't become weary. Because he knew weariness would set in at times. The second thing that we see the Lord or the enemy uses is deceit. He uses delay and he uses deceit to discourage us so that we will become angry or bitter or frustrated. And we see so many in our society today that are just so frustrated and so angry. Even what we see happening with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus's home, we don't see a lot of that happening today because people are frustrated. People are upset. People are miserable. People just want to go back into their homes and shut their doors and windows and turn on the TV and sit and just veg out. They don't want to communicate or socialize or fellowship with one another anymore. And I think a lot of it is because deceit. The enemy has deceived us to believe that we don't need one another, that we don't need the fellowship with each other. But we do. It is vitally important that we fellowship with one another. It's vitally important that we get together with one another. It's vitally important that we stir one another on to good works. George said it this morning, the gospel is good news. It's good news. And when we share it with people, it should not be bad news. It is good news. But the enemy will try to bring deceit and discouragement and frustration and anger and disappointment and all of those things into our lives so that we become like little hermits in our own little caves and we don't let people in. I said to my wife the other day, it's indicative of newer homes that are being built today. You notice newer homes that are being built today, there's something unique about newer homes that are being built versus homes that were built, you know, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago and even later. You go back to a house that was built 100 years ago, you could put 50 to 75 people on the front porch. Whatever happened to the front porch? Whatever happened to the front porch? I said to my wife a number of years ago, I should write a book and entitle it, Whatever Happened to the Front Porch? The front porch was meant for a reason. There was a purpose behind the porch, not just to look beautiful, which they did. How many love them old houses with them big, majestic front porches, and they wrap around the house? Oh, I love them. I love those front porches. But they were meant for a reason. People didn't gather around the old television set and spend hours fixated. We didn't sit in front of computer monitors. And I'm not anti-TV, and I'm certainly not anti-computer or anything electronic, but sometimes those things have captivated our hearts to where they have so distracted us away from the things that are important in our life. TV has distracted us. The internet has distracted us. And although those things can be good and they can be useful at times, but for overall, they've distracted us. They've taken our attention. There are people far more committed to sitcoms than they are even to service of the Lord. There are people that are far more committed to TV dramas than they are the work of the Lord. There are people that have never put their hand to the plow in doing service in the kingdom, but they would not miss the latest TV series that's on television. How many understand what I'm talking about? It's a distraction. And those things can be entertaining, and they can be good at times, and they can be fun at times. Well, depending on which ones you may watch. But so much of it is meant to distract. Boy, what a distraction that happened just the other day, huh? Someone in Hawaii presses a wrong button. Yeah, that'll wake you up. How many of you like to have been in Hawaii a couple of days ago and had an alert come over your TV and your cell phones, and some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, do you? Said a ballistic missile had been launched from North Korea and was on its way to Hawaii. Head for shelter immediately. This is not a warning. Or this is not a drill. Yeah, this is not a drill. This is real. You talk about a distraction. People were dropping things and running. Could cause mass panic, mass chaos. Those who are going into the Steeler game today, distraction. There's part of the parkway you can't even drive on. It looks like the river. Did you see the guy who thought, how many of you love the guy who always thinks he can get through? You know, he buys the $75,000 jacked up four-wheel drive. You know, he's the man. He got a $70,000 truck, he got $1,500 car payment, and he's going through. And next thing you know, he's climbing out the window, standing on the roof of the truck. His $70,000 truck just became a submarine. Completely submerged underwater. But a distraction, you can't get to, you think you're going to go a certain way and you can't go that way any longer. Distraction. Somebody took out a telephone pole yesterday in the middle of the night, somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning up here by Peanut. And people were without power for quite a long period. Distraction. How am I going to watch my show? You know, there are more people that were, I guarantee you, in a power outage, there are more people upset they're not going to get to watch their favorite show than they are the actual reality that they don't have power. What am I going to do? I don't know. You might have to talk. You know, and preferably not like this. Hey, did you realize the power went out? They're sitting 3 feet away from you. Just look at them. I mean, I like this thing. I really like this thing. This thing has really made a difference in my life in a good way. It's helped me be able to communicate better. It's helped me be able to research better. It's helped me to be able to be accessible. But there are sometimes there are distractions. How many ever just find yourself picking it up when you don't need to pick it up? Come on, don't... Y'all got ball caps over those horns this morning. I know. Don't tell me that you don't pick it up sometimes and there's no... I'll pick it up sometimes, Jen, just go, why did I just pick it up? Did you ever just look just hoping there was something there that wasn't there a minute ago? My wife used to laugh at me because, you know, I was very computer illiterate and I didn't know nothing about... When I started getting emails, I loved getting emails. I loved getting emails. And sometimes I'd even just pick up my phone. Did I get an email? I put it back down 30 seconds. Did I get an email? Did I get an email? And she'll even say there were times early on when the smartphone came into my existence that I would send something and sit there and wait for it to come back. Some of you have done it too. I know you have. You have sat there and watched and waited. How about if you've ever sent a text? If you have ever sent a text to somebody and wanted a response back, I'm going to tell you something real simple right now. If you ever send Karen Detling a text and expect an immediate response, you're going to be frustrated. No, I'm just kidding. Karen is not a phone watcher. She is not. It runs in the entire family, and that's family talking to you. But how many of you, when you send a text, you are hoping for somewhat of a very quick response? That's why you sent it, right? And if it doesn't come, you become distracted. You can't do anything else until that thing comes through. And you're eagerly waiting. And hours pass, and dinner, and you're pulling it out, and you're looking. Distractions. Just all day long, we're faced with distractions. They come and go. And what is the point of a distraction? The technical point of a distraction is this: to break your focus. Say that with me. To break your focus. We are to be fixed on Jesus. So the enemy tries to get us to break our focus, to get us away from what our eyes should be, away from what we should be focusing on. The enemy wants to distract, to break our focus, to make you concentrate on a side issue. There it is. To break your focus, to make you concentrate on a side issue. A side issue is something that's not really the issue. It's a side issue. And many of us today in this world, many people today, and I have been caught in it myself, getting caught in a distraction. But I would say to you this morning that some distractions are good distractions. Not all distractions are bad distractions. There are some godly distractions. There are sometimes God will get our attention off of something to get our attention onto something else. There are sometimes we may be on our way somewhere and he may get us in a distraction so that he could get us to do what he originally wanted us to do anyway that we weren't obedient to do in the first place, or he couldn't have got our attention, and so he sidetracked us to get our attention. Paul, on the road to Damascus, faced a distraction. An encounter that he did not. It was a godly thing. It was a good thing. We see in this particular portion of Scripture that Jesus is at the home of Mary and Martha, and they're gathered in the house. And again, we don't see a lot of this happening today. Even at the holiday season, I heard individuals saying, I'd say to someone, well, what are you going to, oh, we got to go visit family. With that, we got to go. And sometimes just share like, I got to go to my mother's house. We got to go over to my brother's and his wife. And it usually follows with that. How many years ever, have you, what's the, it means you're, I'm agitated. I don't want to do it. They got to go over there. How many remember a time when it used to be fun getting together with people? Do you remember a time in your life when it was fun getting together with people? And hopefully you still have fun. There's some people I get around with that they're fun to be around with. And then, you know as well as I do, and then there are other people, you just like, oh my gosh, it's like going to a morgue. You know, they like call you up and say, hey, you want to go somewhere? And you're like, because you know you're going to die. You're going to go through a near-death experience. You are going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. You know it. You know it's coming because it's just, wouldn't you just like to walk into the presence of somebody like that and just get it out of the way? Just walk in and go, what? Well, that's what it's like being with you. How many have ever had somebody like that in your life? Come on, let me see your hands. Don't lie. You're an house of God. And then there's some other people. You see them. It's like, hey. Distracting. And the enemy doesn't want us to get together because he knows in numbers there's power. Maybe you didn't hear that. See, the enemy knows in numbers there's power. He knows there's more power in numbers, and so he doesn't want us getting together. See, the enemy doesn't want people to encourage one another or to stir one another to good works, because he knows if he can keep us isolated, then he can defeat us. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he said, verse 40, but Martha was what? Martha was cumbered, or that word is translated to be distracted. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The things that Martha was doing weren't bad. They needed to be done. But they were a distraction. They were a distraction in the sense that she wasn't able to hear what the Lord was saying. And I think there are times in all of our lives that we become so distracted we don't hear what he's saying. And I think there are times and there are moments that we would do well to not be so distracted, not so easily distracted. We did something on the first day of the new year that hours after we did it, I wasn't sure we made a wise decision. We jumped back into the realm of a puppy. And he very rapidly is not a puppy so much anymore. He's growing so fast. He's almost double the size he was 2 weeks ago. And he is a little, well, he was like this when we got him. Now he's like about that big. Purebred, beautiful, black and tan German Shepherd. And he is the smartest thing that I have ever seen when it comes to an animal. I mean, intelligent. So smart, it is amazing. But he's so easily distracted. I mean, I said to my wife the other day, he's like a lot of people. He's in our family room like this. Run over here chewing on this. He hears a noise. He runs over and he chews on this. He hears a noise. He runs over here. It's like he is so, all you got to do is go. Whoa. I mean, he doesn't miss a sound that happens. So easily. And then he'll get that one toy that seems to be his favorite. And he finally lays down. And he starts chewing on it. And you hear a bedroom door open. Hey! Distracted. Distracted. I said to my wife, that is really the way it is with a lot of people in life. Have you ever been in the middle of something and the phone rang and you couldn't even remember what you were doing when you got off? Distractions. Distractions. You know, sometimes right in the middle of preaching a message, a distraction will happen and I'll lose my next thought. And sometimes Jen's got to throw it out to me what I was going to say. That just happened the other week. Didn't I? What was I going to, where was I? But sometimes we would do well. We would do well not to be so easily distracted. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. Get our eyes off of the focus of where we should be. How many here this morning are going to get water baptized? Those are going to be water baptized. We're going to let you go right now and change your clothes if you need to. We're going to let you go. You can use the bathrooms, you know, upstairs, downstairs. And you can go ahead right now. Go ahead. You can go get changed and then go immediately downstairs. Immediately downstairs. And we'll meet you down there in just a second. While they're doing that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up back to the platform. And they can play a song for us as we're ending this part of our service and allow them time to get changed and allow me time to prepare and be down there. And then we're going to ask you to come down right after this song. If you do not have anybody being water baptized and at this particular time you don't want to come downstairs, that's fine. You can be dismissed to go. We want to encourage you, though, to come down if you've never been a part of a water baptismal service. If you don't even know where we're going to do it downstairs, it'll be some of you will go down. Oh, that makes sense now. We've had some folks go downstairs and go, oh, I always wondered what that was. You'll see what I mean when you get down there if you don't know where we water baptize. It'll be a mystery till you get down there. But we have a water baptismal tank, and it is warm. It is warm. It is as warm as bath water. And we turned the heat up. It's warm up here. It's warm downstairs because we don't want anybody to, you know, come out of there and be chilly. And Pastor Nathan and I will meet you in the baptistry tank in just a few moments and baptize those who are going to be baptized. I think we have close to 15 today that had signed up to be water baptized. And so we just thank the Lord for that privilege and that opportunity. Do you know, I know there are some folks that even have been saved for some time that have never been water baptized. It's a distraction. It should be a desire of ours to enter into the waters of baptism, to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. Scripture says, repent and be baptized. And if we don't do that, then something has distracted us away from, and we need to consider that. So if you've not been water baptized, we want to encourage you to get water baptized. If you came prepared and you weren't signed up, we'd be glad to baptize you this morning. We'll do another one in the spring or early summer. Ronnie and Shelley have opened their house and said we can even do an outside baptismal at their pool and have a nice, you know, fellowship time as well with that. So we may do that early summer as well. If you're not, so don't cancel out today and say, well, I'll do it in the summer. Well, you know, it may not take. We'll have to do you again in the summer. So, but we want to encourage you to follow the ways of the Lord. He's good. How many of you know that today? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help keep us from distractions. Father, I know today so many things, our jobs, so many social media things, television, shopping malls, Lord, people, just a lot of things today can take our attention. The media, billboards, phone calls. Lord, there's so many things that get our attention. Some good and some not so good. Some are just meant to just get our focus changed. But I pray today, Father, that you would help us. Help us to remain focused on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. To keep our eyes fixed on the things that are important, not the side issues. Help us, Father. It's so easy for us at times. So easy for us at times to get focused on those side issues. Help us to remain focused. Set our feet today upon the solid rock. I thank you today for your wisdom, for your truth, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. Your word tells us, perfect peace have they whose minds are stayed on you, fixed on you. So Lord, if we're walking in a lack of peace today, it's simply a result that our focus is out of whack. We've been distracted. If we're not walking in peace, we've been distracted somewhere along the line. So bring us back into alignment today, Father, and help us to remain focused. Help us remain focused on what's important in life. Help us to encourage one another, to stir one another on to fellowship, to be there to encourage one another and strengthen one another and uplift one another. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for who you are, for you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.